The quest to defend more than just a championship lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the CLNS Radio Patriots postgame show. What an incredible game. Patriots beat the Giants 27-26. Last-second field goal by Steven Gostkowski. Incredible game. Tons of things to talk about. We have injuries. We have late comebacks. The offense didn't get off to a great start. The defense didn't get off to a great start. What's up, everybody? My name is Mike Alonji. I'm here with my buddy Bill Bodell. We're going to be taking your calls throughout the game on the FanDuel phone lines at 929-477-2386. Like I said, we'll be taking your calls throughout the show. But let's just get started with, you know, general thoughts to start. Bill, how's it going, man? What did you think of the game today?
Oh, crazy game, Mike. That was insane. Crazy finish to a crazy game. My heart's still beating crazy right now.
No, same way, man. Same way right here. It was an incredible finish. A couple of times in a row, you thought, you know, the Giants just, they were going to do it again. It's this, like, there's just so, like, the history there, you know, Eli Manning, he always tends to step it up before, you know, when he comes and plays the Patriots. It looked like he did it again in this game, came through, threw the touchdown pass at the end of the game. You know, Tom Brady throws a late interception. The Giants were able to drive down, kick a field goal, and the Patriots were lucky to hold them to a field goal on that final drive. And then Tom Brady, you know, came through, did his magic. And Steven Gostkowski, man, he's going to have to be the hero of this game. People will always kind of knock him for not making the clutch kicks because he's never really had to make the clutch kicks. That was a pretty big one right there. And he came through when he needed to. Huge win for the Patriots. Obviously, like I said, we have a ton of stuff to talk about today. You know, let's run through the stats real quick. Tom Brady, another 300-yard passing game. He threw for 334 yards, two touchdowns in that interception that I mentioned. Almost threw another one. He underthrew a guy. Luckily, the Landon Collins, the safety for the Giants, dropped the ball late in the game. That would have effectively ended the game for the Patriots at that point. LeGarrette Blount had 19 carries for 66 yards. You know, it was a steady diet of the run. I was honestly kind of surprised at how much the Patriots ran the ball today. I thought they'd really attack the Giants secondary. And, you know, Rob Gronkowski with that huge 76-yard touchdown catch, finished the game with 113 receiving yards. Danny Amendola had 10 catches for 79 yards. He came in. He had to play a ton of snaps because of the loss of Julian Edelman, which we'll get to in a second. But, Bill, let me ask you something, because the whole game I'm watching, and until the very end, until literally probably the final drive when Tom Brady brought the offense down and got the points when he got them in position when he needed to, I really wasn't impressed with the Patriots' offense. I know me and Pat were talking about this on the show last week after the Washington game, and I said, you know, I wasn't really impressed with the way the offense moved the ball. Obviously, we lost Deion Lewis, you know, halfway through that game, and then we lose Edelman in this game. Obviously, there's no Deion Lewis in this game. We have so many offensive line issues. I was not impressed with how the offense played today. What'd you think?
Yeah, I agree with him, Mike. I was not impressed. You know, the Edelman injury was a killer to this team. You can tell, you know, just how much Brady relies on him on those third downs. You know, when you need a big play, he's usually the guy that Brady looks to. And, you know, saw that on a few different third downs we missed. You know, having him on that final drive probably would have helped a lot more. You know, Amendola, I think, stepped up well, and, you know, in the special teams, on that great punt return that, you know, Harmon tripped him up, but he all, you know, in the receiving game as well, came in clutch for Brady. I was also surprised how much they ran today. I thought they would, you know, try throwing the ball a little bit more against the Giants team, who has struggled against the pass this year. I believe they're ranked 31st in the league pass defense-wise coming into today. So, figured, you know, we would have seen Brady attack that defense more. And in the beginning of the game, we started out with, you know, a lot of Blount up the middle, which was working for a little while, but, you know, the Giants have a very good front seven, so they definitely stepped up and they changed that.
Yeah, no, and I thought Blount, you know, he played a good game. He he's so tough to tackle, and that's I think that's what the thing is about him. He's so difficult to tackle. He made a nice catch out of the backfield. You know, ran a ball up the field a little bit. He's a great downhill runner, and you know he brings a presence that obviously Deion Lewis doesn't with his physical run style. And you know, I think that's always kind of been when the Patriots have been really good, like really good. They've always had at least a runner that can come in and be physical at times. They had, you know, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and Corey Dillon and, you know, Antoine Smith, if we're going way back, you know, stuff like that. So I think Blunt is obviously he's going to be a huge part of the team going forward with Deion Lewis out for the season. So, but speaking of running backs, I was a little surprised that the, you know, I obviously don't have the snap numbers in front of me, but just looking at it, you know, James White had, you know, one carry and Brandon Bolden had one carry. And, you know, I saw James White, and mainly I saw him kind of out in the slot or out wide. I didn't really see him in the backfield too much. Mainly the guys getting the rotation in the backfield were Bolden and LeGarrette Blount. So I don't know. I was just kind of, you know, I thought you would see more of James White. He also only had one catch in the game. So it was just kind of, what did you think, Bill? I thought that they would use James White more. You know, that's kind of what we heard all week, right? That he was going to be the Deion Lewis replacement. He was that similar kind of player. You know, we all thought Brandon Bolden was going to get his snaps, but I was a little surprised at the amount of snaps that they got, because it seemed like it was that Bolden got a lot more snaps than James White did. Or maybe maybe he just showed out more for me. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I definitely thought that James White was going to be a bigger factor in today's game. You know, like we've seen it so many times, you know, Vereen last year, Lewis this year, just, you know, Kevin Falk, Woodhead, being a huge part of this Patriots offense is having a receiving back. And that's what, you know, we thought James White would be coming into this week, taking over for Deion Lewis. Maybe not, you know, doing as well as Lewis has been playing, but, you know, someone who can step on in and, you know, just try taking over that role. And I was surprised by the lack of, you know, touches, snaps, everything he had tonight. You know, we saw Blount more active in the passing game than Lewis, which was surprising. Blount, big, 6 feet, 250 pounds, you know, isn't the top guy for, you know, receiving-wise. We saw Bolden come into the game last week after the Lewis injury, caught that touchdown, and I was surprised. I thought that, you know, it would be White, it would be the main guy for today. Didn't really see too much from him. We'll see what they plan on doing next week with that position.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting because, like you said, I'm not sure what they're going to do, because obviously LeGarrette Blount has a spot on the team, and he's a guy that you pretty much need to give him, you know, a decent number of snaps, because he's one of those guys who just grinds out those yards, you know, three at a time, four at a time, whatever. And when he's been most effective has been when he can come in late in games, like end of the third quarter and then the fourth quarter, and just kind of run over guys who have been playing the entire game and who are tired. And we saw that at the beginning of the season, obviously, because we had Lewis and we were rotating them through, and, you know, Blount was fresh coming into the fourth quarter and he was just running guys over and running out the clock.
When you started bringing that up, I was just thinking about that. You know, we'd see Deion Lewis come out, get, you know, have 60 receiving yards and 30 rushing yards in the first half. And then, you know, we wouldn't really see too much of him with Blount just taking over in the second. And so that'll be definitely a key to see, can Blount have the endurance to go all, you know, play all game, be the main feature back of getting, you know, 20 plus touches a game every week.
Or can James White step up to the point where he can take a decent number of those snaps off of Blount's hands in the early parts of the game, and, you know, maybe that would be, you know, he could help that way. I'm not sure if they're gonna, you know, I'm not sure which way they're gonna go with it. It's definitely gonna be an interesting thing to look at going forward, because, you know, who else do you have? You have Bolden, you have James White, and you have LeGarrette Blount. So you have to make do with what you have, obviously. And it's definitely going to be an interesting thing to look at going forward. But, you know, we're talking about this already and we're saying, oh, you know, we're not sure about the running back position, whatever. But what happened? Tom Brady drove the Patriots down the field, set them up in a position to win. And Steven Gostkowski hit the game-winning field goal. It happens all the time. Tom Brady comes through when you need him to come through, he amazes me more and more every week, Bill. What can this guy not do? They should have lost this game. Do you agree? Like, they should have lost this game. They were not playing well at all.
They're not playing the way that they should be, the way that this team is. Brady, he's the best. He's the best of all time. Tom Brady is God. I'm just going to throw that out there now. He does everything every time in the clutch. I was scared. I was very scared because Eli Manning, he's a decent quarterback in the league, but he is one of the most clutch quarterbacks. He always just comes through in the clutch. Of course, it's always against us, too. And, after Brady threw that pick at the 1 yard line, I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Eli's gonna beat us right now. And then, he drove that team down. Great play by Malcolm Butler in the end zone, breaking up that pass to Odell Beckham Jr. Ended up settling for a field goal, which is great, great offensive defensive stand right there. Excuse me. And, Brady comes out, looks shaky, it was the first three plays they didn't get anything. It was the fourth down where they picked up that first down to Amendola over the middle. And, it was key. I was mad when he threw that pass out of bounds to Dobson instead of spiking it. I was freaking out. But, you can't criticize Tom Brady. He's the greatest human being of all time. I don't even know. He's just amazing.
You know what? It's hard to argue it because who else is going to come through and make that? I'm actually kind of against you on that. I thought, because I'm thinking if he completes that pass to Dobson on the fake spike, that's a brilliant move because the Giants were nowhere near ready for that pass. And Dobson might have had a couple steps to go up the sideline before he could step out of bounds. Obviously, yeah, you don't want him to waste time out of the clock, and what if he gets tackled in bounds, and then you could be screwed. But, like you said, how can you argue with it? He did exactly what he needed to do. He came down the field, got the guys in position. He manipulated the clock to perfection, had, just a perfect – he had 6 seconds left. Gostkowski had the kick. He was ready for it, set up. Had time to think it over when the Giants called the timeout, which I actually thought they kind of mistimed. I think there's kind of an art to freezing the kicker, and I think you want to call that timeout just before they're ready to snap the ball. And I think they called the timeout a little early, and Gostkowski wasn't even really set for the kick yet. And I think he just kind of stepped back and took a second, got reset, and made the kick. I thought it was kind of a little bit of a mismanagement with that timeout by the Giants, but that's a nuanced thing. That could be just in my head, honestly. I'm not really sure, but I've always kind of felt that way. I've felt that there was kind of that art to freezing a kicker, and you got to do it at the right time or else you kind of waste that timeout. So all the credit in the world to Gostkowski, 54-yard field goal at Giants Stadium, MetLife Stadium. It's always windy there. They said it was a dead wind there, but the wind's always swirling down there. It was a tough kick for sure. Pressure kick. He hit it. It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. Like going back to the freezing of the kicker, you usually see it as the ball is being snapped, and a lot of the times you see, the ball ends up being kicked and then a re-kick. So I did think that, Coughlin used that timeout too early. Everyone was just getting onto the field. Like you said, Gostkowski was not set. I'm pretty sure he didn't even take a step back yet into his stance to kick. So, I got scared. That field goal, it was close. I didn't think he had it for a second just because I didn't want to get my hopes up. But he got it. He drilled it. Gostkowski's the best kicker in the league. And, like you said earlier on in the show, he hasn't had that clutch moment yet like Adam Vinatieri had throughout his career because, we hadn't had too many opportunities for Gostkowski to have those. And, he came in the clutch tonight, I think 20 for 20 now in the year. And, great, great overall kick by him. One is the game, like you said, the game winner in the Meadowlands.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I was as I'm watching the game, I started watching it, and I was honestly the first few snaps of the game, I was flipping between that and the Green Bay game, which was it turned out to be an incredible finish, and Green Bay had a chance to win it, and they ended up losing. But I'm watching the game in the beginning, and I'm like, okay, well, the offense is getting off to a slow start. We mentioned that, They kind of got they were unimpressive throughout the game, I thought. They had flashes, the Gronkowski catch. They had, a couple of nice broken tackles by Blunt, but they really didn't do anything too special once. And I really think it was because Edelman left the game. Let's just talk about that real quick. Let's just talk about the Edelman injury and the effect. We'll talk about it in a little bit. We'll talk about the effect it's going to have going forward. But for this specific game right here, I really thought it hampered them in this game. I thought they really had a tough time. You know, obviously Amendola had his 10 catches, but I think everyone else kind of had a tough time getting open. Brandon LaFell only had 2 catches. You know, Rob Gronkowski only had 5. And if you take away the 76-yard touchdown, he only had 47 yards receiving outside of that. So, you know, he didn't necessarily have a very good game. Edelman, before he got hurt, had four catches. And we already mentioned LeGarrette Blount and James White had 2 and 1, respectively. So, you know, the passing game was, you know, Brady, he threw for 334 yards. Yeah, it's good numbers. But it was, I was left wanting more. I just thought they left a lot of plays on the field. There was just, they didn't flash today like they have the past few weeks.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you know, that could be part of the reason for that with Edelman being hurt. You know, saw a lot of Scott Chandler out there today, especially in the first half. He had that touchdown. Then he also had, you know, a big drop. I think I was on a second down, which forced a punt on that drive, I believe. So, you know, we'll have to see. Hopefully Edelman's injury isn't too severe. Hopefully he doesn't have any more time besides tonight. You know, it was a left ankle injury. You know, didn't look too bad when it happened, but he left limping off the field, so that's never good. Edelman's one of the toughest guys in the NFL. So, you know, if he's showing signs of hurt, that's not good. But like you said, you know, they're struggling. No one really had stood out in the passing game wise. You know, Gronk had that big one, that big 76-yard touchdown. Other than that, he had the 4 for 40 something. You know, LaFell had the deep, I think it was a 60-yarder around there. You know, that's almost half of Brady's yards right there just between those two plays. So we'll have to see. You know, hopefully, like I said, Edelman injury is not nearly as serious as we all hope. And just hope offense just, you know, steps back to, you know, clicking well, had like how they did earlier on in the year, unlike these past two games against Washington and the Giants.
Yeah, it makes me a little nervous because, you know, the saying is, you know, the player knows his body better than anyone else and things like that. And he came off the sideline limping and he slammed his helmet down to the ground. So it makes me a little nervous. Just, you know, maybe he was just frustrated because, you know, he sprained his foot or something, and maybe he'll be fine. You know, I got Twitter up right now. I haven't seen anything that's come up yet to be, you know, Edelman's wearing a walking boot or anything like that. I'm sure they're probably still, you know, getting changed and stuff like that. But we'll see, you know, how it goes going forward. It's kind of a weird time because, you know, Buffalo wins against the Jets, you know, this week on Thursday night, and now they're coming in hot to New England. And this, you know, what could have been maybe a step over game a couple weeks ago is now looking like it's going to be a pretty tough game to get you ready for Denver, which, you know, you saw Peyton Manning today. He was benched. So
yeah,
it's going to be very interesting going forward to see how the team looks, you know, over these next couple weeks, because what I really want to talk about is the offensive line and the issues that we got to get some guys back here, because
yeah,
the Giants have not had a good pass rush this season. You know, they had 9 sacks coming, like, total as a team coming into the game today, and they were getting after Brady. And, you know, the offensive line has played well over the past few weeks with these injuries, but when you start losing guys, you know, especially guys the caliber of like Sebastian Vollmer, for example, you can't continue to play as well as you've been playing. It's just not going to happen. You know, Marcus Cannon's been out for a few weeks. You're going to need to get him back. Trey Jackson, who we haven't seen in weeks, you're going to need to get him back. Sebastian Vollmer, we're not sure, you know, how long he's going to miss. You're going to need to get these guys back, especially facing teams like Buffalo with a great defensive line, and then the Broncos, who have a great pass rush. I believe they lead the league in sacks. So it's definitely going to be an issue if you continue to be rolling out, you know, Michael Williams as a swing tackle, and you know what I mean? It's going to be tough for you. You're going to have to make some things. You're going to have to get some guys back. You need to.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they had only 6 active offensive linemen tonight. You know, it's something, you know, we have Stork just coming back from off of IR, our starting center last year and playing right tackle, position he never played before last week when he entered the game after an injury to Vollmer. So, you know, we have to get a lot of guys out. That's going to be a key to this team, is trying to stay healthy. You know, they showed good signs tonight at times, but they also struggled a lot. Like you said, the Giants don't have a very good pass rush this year, only having 9 sacks coming into this week. But they are one of the teams who has great success against the Patriots in the past. Obviously, you know, the 2 Super Bowl losses, which none of us want to talk about, you know, just other wins. They're one of the teams, they've always gotten to Brady, too. So I think they do know how to play the Patriots, you know, Coughlin and just that whole team. But absolutely, the offensive line definitely needs to be more consistent and get, you know, just healthy, get guys back. Because having 6 active offensive linemen and then tackle and Williams, it's not good. You need to get guys in and out there, you know, get guys breaks. And, you know, it helps flow the offense better. Brady needs his time. He does have this quickest release in the league, I think, just over 2 seconds. But you can't let him do that every – you can't look to him to do that every play. He's going to have to build up time. And same with the running game, it helps too. You know, lucky we have a guy like Blount who's, you know, nearly impossible to tackle with how big he is. But, you know, he can go through, you know, half of, you know, he's bigger than some defensive linemen. But, it just flows. You need a good offensive line, and Patriots need to get some guys healthy. Hopefully, being the Monday night game next week gives, you know, a little bit more time to, you know, get some of these guys back, like Vollmer or Jackson or Cannon.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because, I mean, you know, JPP is their, you know, the Giants' best pass rusher at this point, which is, you know, kind of weird to think about because they've had such a great pass rush over the years, and now they've lost so many guys. You know, obviously, you know, from way back, Strahan's retired, and, you know, you keep losing guys off the line. Umanyora left and is now in Oakland or wherever he went to. So Jason Pierre-Paul is their best pass rusher, and, you know, I really thought Marcus Cannon, for the most part, did a really good job against him. I thought that, you know, he did a decent job of, you know, stopping him from getting too many good runs at the quarterback. I believe Pierre-Paul had 1 sack in the game, and you know, Brady was sacked a few times. He was stripped twice. That's the issue. That's the issue. Is when you get sacked and you get stripped like that and you lose fumbles. You know, obviously we lost one and we recovered one. You can't have that. You can't have Brady, because Brady is he's always looking down the field, right? So he doesn't have the sense that someone's flying in from the backside. That's why that left tackle spot is so crucial. And, you know, I thought, like I said, for the most part, I thought Marcus Cannon played well, but it was nerve wracking though, right? It was.
Oh, absolutely.
You thought he was going to stop here.
No time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what about the other side, though? Because you mentioned Stork, and I guess I want to ask about the interior line now, because, you know, obviously Stork, I think I saw him a couple times. He was lined up at guard. He was lined up at right tackle, obviously. But we also saw a lot of Josh Klein. We saw a lot of Trey Mason. Trey Mason as a fullback. Trey Mason as a guard. You know, what did you think about the interior offensive line? Because that was what got LeGarrette Blount his real, you know, good running lanes up the middle, what he really likes to do. He didn't necessarily have to bounce him outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the interior offensive line played all right. That's been, you know, pretty consistent throughout the year, especially with the bodies that they have there. You know, Andrews, you know, Mason, you know, it's put up between Mason, Jackson, Klein, guys like that. But, you know, Andrews has played great this year. He's been, you know, key to that team. You know, especially him just being able to stay healthy, which, you know, no one else on that offensive line has been able to do. Like you said, that's Stork's Blount's main running lane is right down the middle of the field. He's too big to go outside. So having a good interior is going to be, you know, key for him. Just to, you know, just create some space and, you know, get those 6-7 yard gains. Overall, you know, like you said, you saw Mason everywhere today. Just giving him, you know, he's a big guy. He can move. For a big guy, especially, you know, playing at Georgia Tech where they just run, and that's all they do is run. And I saw him pull on, like, one, I think he was playing left guard, pulled to the right to make the room for Blount on one of his big carry, I remember. I can't remember how long it went for. I believe it was in the second quarter of the game. So, you know, overall, I just think, you know, they've been, the interior has played a lot better than the exterior offensive line so far, I believe. Especially
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree. And honestly, I've been pleasantly surprised by Josh Klein over the past few games, because last year I was very against Josh Klein. I was a big Josh Klein hater last year, and I will fully admit that. You know, and he's stepped up this year. He really has. He's needed to come in and play, and he's played really well. We're going to talk about, obviously I want to talk about the defense. I want to talk about Malcolm Butler and, you know, him against Odell Beckham Jr. in this game. But real quick, let's hear from our sponsor FanDuel. Like I said, you can always give us a call on the FanDuel phone lines at 929-477-2386. We're taking your calls throughout the show as always. But you know, FanDuel says, you know, NBA fans, the season is back. It's started. We're getting going. A lot of things going on. One-day fantasy action at FanDuel.com is also back. You think you know basketball? Prove it at FanDuel.com. Personally, I love FanDuel. Obviously, play fantasy football, you know, every week. Fantasy basketball just started. Been getting into it. Ton of guys to play. Obviously, you know, the one-day basketball leagues for real money, immediate cash payouts. You can pick a team of 9 players, just guys from that night's games. Payouts will be in your account the next morning. You play every day or whenever you want. Doesn't matter. Leagues start at just $1. Finally, it can pay to be a fan. Guys, tonight, hopefully you started Russell Westbrook against the Celtics tonight. You know, $11,400, which is a pretty steep price, but still, he doesn't have Kevin Durant. Big-time player, as always. If you're looking at guys who you can start maybe in the later games tonight, you know, Andre Drummond playing against the Lakers tonight, 10 o'clock start, only $9,800, and he has been lighting it up. You know, tons of points, tons of rebounds. He'll get you a ton of points. If you're looking for point guards, you know, Kyle Lowry, 8,600. Reggie Jackson at Detroit, 8,000. Damian Lillard, only 9,100. So plenty of guys you can play. FanDuel isn't just for huge tournaments. You can play against your friends any night you want. Just create a private league, trash talk, do whatever you do in your regular fantasy league. Just do it in daily fantasy at FanDuel.com. You can join over 1 million other fans who have already won money playing fantasy sports on FanDuel.com. And if you go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use my code Celtics, ICS, and sign up now. Plus, a special offer for my listeners. Sign up today and FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code Celtics. Don't forget to use my code Celtics. That's C-E-L-T-I-C-S, Celtics. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So like I was saying, the defense, we had some issues in this game. Definitely had some issues to start off. The secondary got burned. Second pass of the game, Malcolm Butler gets burned by Odell Beckham Jr., 87-yard touchdown, the longest passing touchdown allowed by the Patriots since Bill Belichick has become the head coach. So it did not start off well. But I thought after that first pass, Butler played great on Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. finished with 4 catches for 104 yards. So that's 3 catches for, 27 yards outside of that 87-yard touchdown? That's fantastic. He's one of the best receivers in the league, and Malcolm Butler shut him down. What did you think about Malcolm Butler today, Bill?
He played great tonight. You know, that first play of the game, he got beat. I think McCourty should have been there over the top. Sorry, Patrick, if you're listening. I probably would be mad about that. McCourty should have been there over the top. It looks like I highly doubt that they would have put, Butler on Odell right to start the game off. McCourty runs into Butler as he's chasing Odell, and then, which led to the 87-yard touchdown. But after that, he was great. You know, he had one or two, BS penalty calls, which I did not agree with at all. I know the one, he didn't even make contact with him. They threw a flag for 21 yards, which I think led to a Giants score. I can't remember if it was a touchdown or a field goal. You know, that's something that's critical to the game. Other than that, he played great. Like I already mentioned, in the end zone, breaking up that touchdown at the end of the game. That was great. You know, he was all over him, and you know, you could tell it. Butler, you know, he was getting in Odell's face, talking to him, talking smack to him. You know, he knew that he's playing up to, you know, one of the best wide receivers in the league, and he's pretty much shutting him down. And I think that's gonna be, you know, he's showing great signs. You know, Butler, Coleman got beat a lot today. He did not play well at all. So, you know, a lot more questions still in this secondary to continue.
Yeah, they definitely went after Coleman. That was apparent from pretty much Jump Street. You could see that they were attacking him. They knew he was a rookie. They put Dwayne Harris on him, who's a really fast guy. Definitely probably a tough matchup for him. And they went after him. There's no question. And then at the end of the game, they started going after, you know, what's his name? Rashad Melvin. He was a mess. He was a mess. He is not good.
He might be the worst quarterback I've ever seen. At least for a very long time. He was just beat on every play, and it wasn't even close. At least Coleman was seeing the picture a few times. You know, didn't make a few plays. But, man, Melvin is just terrible. They need to upgrade his secondary right now, because get him off the team.
Well, that's why it was so shocking to see that they didn't make a move at the trade deadline. Because, listen, we talked about Bradley Fletcher at the beginning of the season as a bad corner. Rashad Melvin has given him a run for his money. He was bad today. So I agree with you, but, you know, it's like, where do you go at this point? You know, the trade deadline's passed. You didn't get anybody. You didn't make any moves. And if there's a guy who's just sitting on the street that you can pick up, you know, all the power to you, but I don't think you're going to really get anybody better at this point. You got to depend on Butler. I think it is a good thing that you didn't hear much from Logan Ryan today. You know what I mean? In terms of you didn't hear him get beat at all. You heard, you know, he had three tackles. So, he wasn't really in a lot of plays, but he didn't get beat. And that's pretty much all I can ask for from him. I thought Patrick Chung played really well today. He's been just really stepping up over the past few weeks. You know, we've obviously mentioned Butler, who, you know, you saw a couple times throughout the game, you know, watching Odell Beckham Jr. was straight giving him props for covering him well. Like, it was impressive. It was really impressive. And, you know, at the end of the game, you saw, you know, shaking hands at the end of the game, obviously in the middle of the field. And they had a long talk in the middle of the field at the end of the game. And it was just, you know, it was pretty cool to see, you know, the respect that, you know, the two have for each other. It was just kind of cool. And it was a great matchup to watch, you know, on TV. You know, I was watching him every single time. I was watching whether, you know, and Butler was sticking with him. You know, Odell is a fast guy. He's a shifty guy. He can go up for the football. And Malcolm Butler matched him, you know, move for move throughout the game after that 87-yard touchdown. So,
yeah, Butler was all over him. He played great tonight. You know, it's really just showing. You know, he's been a little bit inconsistent this year, Butler. But I think he's played great so far for the whole overall. And I think, you know, I believe this is his best performance of the year so far. Going up against an elite wide receiver in Odell Beckham Jr. You know, second-year man, you know, everyone knows what he's done. His famous, you know, one-handed catch against Dallas last year. Everyone knows what this guy does. He goes out there, and I think he had three touchdowns either last week or the week before when they played New Orleans. You know, he can go deep. He's one of those few receivers who can, you know, he can go deep. He can play in the slot, play outside. He can do it all. And Butler just played him fantastic tonight.
Yeah, and you know, it was a guy who didn't play well tonight. Who I didn't think we would in this game, but we really missed Jamie Collins in this game. Jonathan Freeney, you know, he's a guy who I pegged him as kind of a more of a coverage guy. He's not like a run stopper. He's more of a coverage linebacker, and he did not play well today. The tight ends for the Giants, the no-name tight ends. I mean, Larry Zinnell, who we thought, you know, could kind of be a potential threat if he plays, but he didn't even play. You had, you know, what was his name? Will Ty? I don't even know his name.
Yeah. Will Ty. I never even heard of him before today. And, you know, Jonathan Freeney made him look like, you know, like an elite tight end in the league. Yeah. He was everywhere. Like, I saw this guy. He was open on almost every play in that first half. Like, it's a good thing, you know, didn't really matter having Odell shut down because, you know, Eli just looks right at number 45. Never even heard of this guy. And he's making plays, you know, play after play after play for the Giants.
Yeah, it was definitely tough to see, man. It was, I didn't think this would be the game that we'd miss him. You know what I mean? I thought that, you know, maybe next week, Charles Clay, you definitely want to get him back for that matchup. You definitely want to get him back for, you know, potential Vernon Davis matchup against Denver. Obviously, Jamie Collins, you know, we need him back in general because the defense did not play as well. They got better as the game went on, but this game did not start off well. I did not think the Patriots were going to win this game at halftime. I'll tell you what, they just didn't look like they were going to win it. And I thought it was because of the defense. The offense obviously wasn't moving the ball. They, you know, they started playing a little better as the half went on. But I was like, this defense, the secondary is just getting torched. And I thought that, you know, if they could, I said, yeah, maybe if they get burned over the top a couple times, you can deal with it. But not if you're getting burned over the top and the entire middle of the field is all yours because, you know, your tight ends are just running roughshod over everybody. You just can't have that. So, you know, the run defense was great. You know, Jerod Mayo played a lot today. I thought, you know, I saw him getting a lot of snaps, and I thought that was good for him just because, you know, he hasn't been getting a lot of snaps this season, and it was good to see him get, you know, meaningful playing time and be able to, you know, come through and make tackles. Let's see how many tackles. He had 4 tackles, 3 assisted tackles. So,
yeah,
you know,
Having Collins not out there was huge. You know, it just shows how important and how he is to this defense, and you know, he how he controls all assets of the game. I think it was me and you talked about it a few weeks ago. You know how we, you know, he is the best linebacker overall in the NFL. I believe at least he can cover, get after the pass rusher, get after the pass after the quarterback. Excuse me. You know, cover the pass, stop the run, and get after the QB. You know, tonight they definitely hurt not having him out there. Like you said, having Mayo out there played a lot more this week than he has all year. Someone who's, you know, seen his snaps decrease every week, you know, and seen a lot more Freeney. Having Mayo out there was good. Hopefully, he can, you know, start get back to some of his old form before, you know, pre-injury.
Yeah, you definitely want, because you know, what we've heard over the, you know, over the past couple of weeks is, you know, Collins been, obviously he's had the illness, he's been sick. And he hasn't been able to eat. So he hasn't been able to, like, I'm assuming he hasn't probably been able to, you know, work out or anything like that. So he, you know, he probably dropped a lot of weight and he might not be, you know, it might take him a couple of weeks to get back into real football shape. So you really need him to be back practicing and, you know, possibly playing, you know, soon, because there's going to be games coming up that you're going to need him for. You're definitely going to need him for Denver. You're definitely going to need him for, you know, the Philly game, because Philly runs that sweep, yeah, read option offense. You know what I mean? You're going to need that. You're going to need him for the Jets game because they're going to try to pound the ball up the middle. You're going to need him going forward. So you definitely want to see him back on the practice field. Hopefully he can get back on the practice field this week. And, yeah, you know, the Pats have an extra day coming up this week. We'll talk in a couple minutes about, you know, the Bills game next week, but Chandler Jones had another sack today, strip sack. He still leads the league in sacks. Let me ask you this real quick, just as a, you know, off the top of your head, over under. He's got 10.5 sacks on the season right now. Over under, he finishes with, let's say, 16 sacks. 16.5 sacks.
16, I'll say the over. So, you know, we're 9-0 at this point, you know. Little bit over halfway through the year, 10.5 sacks. I think he can easily manage, you know, if he can stay healthy, which will be key. You know, we've seen that, you know, last year he had problems staying healthy with the hip injury. You know, if he can stay healthy, I think he'd easily over 16.5, probably around, you know, the 18.5 range. You know, I don't think he'll get into that 20. That, you know, that's a J.J. Watt category, but pretty much alone. But yeah, I love Chandler Jones. He is one of my favorite players on the Patriots. I love him. I loved him when he was at Syracuse. Wanted the Pats to draft him. Met him a few different times. I told Jeff, you know, Jeff knows, we've talked about it before. He's, you know, one of those guys that you just love. Chandler Jones is one of mine, and I love seeing him, the success he's having this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and you hear him on, like, the radio. He has, like, the weekly interview on EEI, and you hear him, and he's just a great, you know, great guy. He clearly works extremely hard because, you know, last year they were, you know, every team was running the ball directly at him. They were pounding the ball at him, forcing him to make plays, and he couldn't. And now this year, they try to run the ball on his side, and he throws the defender off, and he makes a play. So I think that's what's really transformed his game this year, because, you know, you can't just run the ball at him and neutralize him like you could in years past. This year, you gotta scheme to not get him anywhere near the football. That's like what you have to do, because he gets in the backfield. He has got the speed rush. He's powerful. He's added more strength. I think he's had a fantastic turnaround from last year, because, you know, I was saying last year that he was a liability in the run game. Like, I used the liability in the run game, and I was just like, you can't, like, teams are just, they were running right at him, and this year you can't do it, and I think it's been a huge transformation on that part.
Yeah, I agree with him. Like, you know, his run defense was something that, you know, he did struggle with the past few years. You know, transform that and just make him an overall, all-around better player, and keep him on the field. And, you know, a lot of times when, you know, before he would have, you know, that sometimes take him out for run plays, and if you see him, you know he's blitzing. You know, obviously, you know he's going right for the passer, so, you know, double him up right away. You see him out there every single play, you know, it's going to be harder. You can't get, you know, you can't double him every single play. You know, and then running at him, you know, you'd be able to run that side. You'd pick up a good 5 yards at least. And now, you know, he's making a lot of stops behind the backfield. And, you know, part of his game too, which I've always said, because I've always said, you know, we're making arguments about him because, you know, I love Chandler Jones. You know, is he gets, you know, the amount of times he gets after the quarterback, even though, you know, it doesn't always resemble the sack numbers. You know, he gets after the quarterback a lot, gets a lot of double teams, you know, a lot of penalties. I think, I know there's at least two tonight through with on Flowers. And, you know, like in past, you know, we've seen him get after the quarterback, maybe not get the sack, but he's been getting doing a great job this year in the run game. You know, that running at that side is nearly impossible, you know, with him and Collins over there. It just can't be done.
Yeah, and you know, I thought Ninkovich played really well too. He made a couple of really big plays. The defense certainly got better as the game went along. But, you know, before we talk about the Bills game, obviously the Pats have they have an extra day to get ready for the Monday night game against Buffalo next week. But I want to talk about just, you know, the third phase of the game. Obviously, you know, Bill Belichick talks about it all the time, the three phases of the game: offense, defense, the kicking game. And I like how he calls it the kicking game. He doesn't call it special teams. He calls it the kicking game because it's almost like he's being very specific. It's about kicking the football and punting the football, because you saw Ryan Allen, you needed to use him a lot in this game. And he was pinning the Giants back inside the 10 a couple times. And, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, think much of it. You know, generally when, like, casual fans watch the game, oh, it's fourth down, they're going to punt, someone goes and gets a beer. You know what I mean? That's when you go get a beer, because you know a commercial's coming up in a second. But if you watch the, you know, the punting, Ryan Allen pins guys inside the 15 a lot. He's a great punter. And obviously we saw, you know, Steven Gostkowski had, you know, a couple big field goals, obviously the big, big one at the end there. So, you know, I think it's a very underrated part of, you know, people don't talk about it with the Patriots as much. Obviously, Gostkowski, if you're going to talk about anyone getting shine, it's Gostkowski. But, you know, Ryan Allen, he's one of the best punters in the league, right?
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. You know, it's very key. You know, getting, you know, just makes it a lot easier for the defense, you know, knowing that, you know, they give up, they have more, you know, that makes the offense of the drive more yards, just drive down the complete field, you know, pinning guys inside, pinning teams inside the 10, the 5, the 15, you know, make him go, you know, 80, 90 yards, try getting some points instead of, you know, oh, here's the ball at the 40. Try going, you know, if you get 30 yards, you're in field goal range. You know, then with, you know, it also changes the offensive playbook a lot for the other team when they, you know, they have, when they're pinned down deep inside their own territory. You know, they can't drop back. They don't have as much time or as much room to try doing things. And a lot of the times you'll see, you know, one, you know, first down, you know, nothing, second down, nothing. The teams aren't going to throw it on third down, on, you know, third and eight, something like that. They're not going to throw the ball because they'll just run it to try and make it safe. It's not, at that point, they don't want to try to give up the interception and give them the, you know, the other team the ball right there with, you know, the 15-yard line, you know, then forces them to punt, which gives a good field position back to the offense. So overall, just, you know, a revolving door in a way. Just,
yeah, I mean, and you know, we've seen how crucial it's been. You know, there's been times, you know, a couple weeks ago, the Miami game. You pin him down inside the one, snap goes over Tannehill's head, all of a sudden you get a safety. You know, that's what you put yourself in position to have happen when you have a punter who can down the ball that deep in the opposing, you know, team zone. So just, you know, an observation that I had. I thought the special teams obviously was, you know, the critical part in the game today because of the Gostkowski kick, but also because Ryan Allen, He pins guys inside. You know, he gives you tough field position. Like you said, you got to drive 80, 90 yards. That's a long way to go and score points, especially against this New England defense, who has been markedly better than in years past when you could drive 80, 90 yards on them, no problem. It's a little bit tougher to do that on them this year. And the fact that you're adding that Ryan Allen punt that's getting down inside the 5, inside the 10, that just makes it that much tougher. But let's talk about Buffalo. Obviously, this is the second matchup of Buffalo. Beat them first time around. You know, Buffalo's coming off a big win, big divisional win against the Jets. You know, they're coming into New England. We got some injuries still. We've already talked about, you know, offensive line. You need to get guys back. Real quick, just off the top of your head, Bill, thoughts going into next week?
You know, Buffalo's been playing well. Played, you know, on a better end. They just beat the Jets. You know, it was good. Which is, you know, well, I didn't, sadly couldn't see the game because of, you know, the cable rights now with everything. But, yeah, you know, Tyrod Taylor is always, you know, he's one of those guys. He's mobile. And that's what definitely can hurt New England a lot at times. You've seen it in the past. Not as much this year. But even when we played him in the beginning of the year, you know, he would run. He can go, he can pick up first downs, and he can throw the ball. He's got an arm. He's got a big arm. He can throw it deep. You know, Butler played well, very well, and Sammy Watkins the first time they played, so that'll be a key point. And then, you know, the offensive line will really be key because, you know, Buffalo does have a very good pass rush. You know, Rex Ryan loves to blitz, knows New England, played us many times, and, you know, he'll make it, you know, a point to get after Brady, especially if we still have, you know, no Vollmer, no Cannon out there.
Yeah, I was looking for the guy's name because the sixth offensive lineman that the Pats made active today, and his name is Chris Barker, and it's his NFL season debut. I believe he's a third-year guy out of who knows where. You know, you need to get at least one of these guys back. I'm thinking Cannon is probably the closest guy to coming back. I'm not sure what Trey Jackson's status is. And Sebastian Vollmer, you know, you never know with that concussion protocol, but you know, what's Cannon missed probably, you know, what, 3 weeks now? So, you know, it's a toe injury. It's iffy, but I think if you can get him back for this game, even if you can play him limited snaps and just get him out there as a rotation guy, I think you need to give it a shot because, we've talked about, this defensive line, Darius, you know, Mario Williams, they got some solid linebackers who can rush the passer. They throw exotic blitz packages at you. You know, obviously Rex Ryan has those crazy blitz packages that he always throws at the Patriots. So definitely going to be – I think you need to get one of these guys back. You need to – but then again, like, this has happened – we say this every single week, Bill. Don't we say this every single week? You got to get guys healthy. The offensive line is – you got to get them healthy. And then they come out and, you know, sure, Brady took some sacks. Brady was sacked 3 times in this game. It felt like he was sacked more. It felt like he was under pressure a lot, but he was sacked 3 times in this game, bottom line. He fumbled the ball twice, lost one of them, but, you know, if you can limit sacks to 3, you have a shot. If Buffalo sacks you 3 times, I'd say that's probably a win with the offensive line in the state that it's in right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Right off that good point. You know, it seems like we're saying this every week, you know, we need to get healthy, especially when talking about the offensive line. But you know, we still go out there, we're, you know, playing pretty well offensively overall. You know, that just talks to the greatness of Brady, you know, being able to just get the ball out whenever he's needed. You know, he did have those 2 fumbles tonight. Thankfully, we didn't lose them both. Got one back. That was critical to get that one, the second one to keep. Yeah, like you said, you know, just the offensive line. You know, we say it every week. They need to get healthy, but they're still out going out and winning every week. So hopefully, just hopefully we can, you know, just continue doing what we're doing well, having our success. But like you said, we need guys healthy. We can't be going in every week with 6 active offensive linemen. And, you know, having to help hopefully also rely on Mike Williams, a tight end / tackle mix. You know, he's not big enough to play tackle full time. You know, Stork, this is his second time he's ever played tackle after last week. And, you know, we have Fleming out there playing the other left tackle. You know, this guy, he was on the practice squad at the beginning of the year. You know, we need to get healthy. It's going to be key to the team. And, you know, especially in 2 weeks against Denver, when they have a fantastic pass rush and defense in general. You know, it'll help if Payton throws, you know, if Payton even plays and throws the ball to us four or five times like he did tonight. But health-wise, we need it. I completely agree with you. No, it's something we're saying every week, but just somehow we're pulling it out, the victories. I think that speaks to Brady more than anything.
I still can't believe that Peyton Manning was benched for Brock Osweiler. I just can't believe it. I just don't get it. But and back to your point about the cable rights thing, just real quick, I have a Comcast subscription. I don't know if I can say this, but I have a Comcast subscription. I have NFL Network. I go to watch it online because I'm not home. And I can't watch it online because there's not an agreement with Comcast that you can stream it online. And I was PO'd, man. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
so
I'm with you. I don't have it. I'm on the college cable, the basic college cable. Here's the channels we give you. You're lucky. You're lucky to have
exactly.
The pack.
Exactly. So, but, you know, just talking about the you know, defense, you know, attacking the Bills on defense. Or defensively, I should say. If you're not going to have Jamie Collins back, I mean, I'm hoping that Jamie Collins will be back for this game. That's what I'm going to hope for. I'm going to hope that he starts practicing, you know, hopefully practicing, you know, they'll start practicing on Tuesday. And hopefully with that extra one day maybe to get ready, hopefully he can get back in time. But if not, maybe you just let him practice this week, sit, you know, for this upcoming game and then bring him back for the Denver game. But, you know, the Charles Clay thing is definitely going to be a matchup to watch because, you know, Jonathan Freeney could have issues covering Charles Clay. Charles Clay has been known to go off on guys, and that could be an issue. But, you know, I think that for the most part, you know, the Bills have a good offensive line, but if you can slow down LeSean McCoy, I mean, this is what we did in the first game. You know, you slow down LeSean McCoy to a point, and then you keep Tyrod Taylor in the pocket, and you know, he's a decent pocket passer, but he's obviously more explosive with his legs. If you can keep him in the pocket, which I thought Jamie Collins did the best job of that in the first game. I thought he was the guy who was kind of the spy on Tyrod Taylor, and that was what you know, that's the ideal way to attack them, is to spy Taylor and to have Collins just follow him all around the field. So if you don't have Collins out there, you know, that responsibility may fall on Freeney. You know, it could possibly fall on Hightower, maybe. You know, I think it was a big deal, like I mentioned, that, you know, Jerod Mayo got a lot of snaps in this game because I think he's going to get a lot of snaps in the next game because Buffalo is much more of a running football team, and I think you're going to probably want that bigger body out there, especially if you don't have Collins. And, yeah. You know, like you said, you know, Sammy Watkins, you know, Malcolm Butler shut him down the first time. Watkins has been playing better the past couple weeks. But, you know, I think that's a plus matchup on the Patriots side for sure. Yeah, I think the Bills, they present a decent matchup, you know, decent matchups on offense. But I think, if you know, provided the Patriots can stay healthy as constituted right now, because, listen, we didn't even talk about Jabal Sheard came back today and played in this game and, you know, didn't make too much of an impact, but it's good to see that he's back and he's getting his legs under him. And maybe in a couple weeks when he starts getting a lot of reps, maybe he starts really making an impact in the pass rushing game like he was the first couple games. So that's definitely something to look forward to. As far as, you know, attacking the Bills, you know, from the offensive side of the ball, hopefully Edelman's back. You know, it's you're going to find out in a couple of days whether Edelman's, you know, whether it was just a foot sprain or maybe he – you know, just maybe it was a stinger. Maybe, you know, you got one of those things where you get like that tingly feeling in your foot because you whacked it too hard. You know, a lot of things could have happened that we don't know about. But like I mentioned at the beginning, you saw him slam his helmet down. That's generally not a good sign. So
yeah, not at all. Edelman's one of the toughest guys in the league. You know, we've seen him get hit so hard, just get right back up like it's nothing, go out and make another catch in the next play. Having him out there next week will be key. You know, the Bills, they have a you know, good overall defense. You know, Gilmore's been playing really well, their top cornerback. So, you know, having him out there being able to move across the field just opens it up some more. You know, maybe not, you know, even if Gilmore's on him, you know, that opens up things for Gronk, for Amendola, for LaFell, you know, maybe for Chandler, for White, somebody. You know, just having him out there just changed it. And, it, you know, his chemistry with Brady is unreal. He knows where he wants – Brady just knows – where he's going to be at all times, and Edelman knows where Brady wants him. You know, he sees something, he adapts, and Edelman, you know, Edelman adapts when he sees something on the field. So does Brady. They both do it. They know it. You know, they have great chemistry together, and that's just messes so well with that offense. Having him out there is going to be key. Having him out there, I think, especially if not for this week, especially against Denver in 2 weeks from now, going up, you know, against Aqib Talib and Chris Harris, which probably the best cornerback duo in the NFL right now.
Yeah, no question. No question about it. And, you know, it's a good thing that Danny Amendola has been playing as well as he has over the past few weeks, because, you know, it's almost like that, you know, when you lost Welker a couple of years ago and Edelman stepped right up, and it's almost like, oh, if you lose Edelman for a couple of weeks, Amendola might be able to step up, but then you don't have that extra guy, you know what I mean? You're down a body. And that's an issue, because the Patriots play the matchups and they rotate guys in, and that's part of the huge, you know, that's a huge part of the success of the Patriots offense, is the fact that they can bring in so many different personnel groups and so many different offensive line combinations when they're fully healthy, and they can just throw so many different things at you. So it's definitely going to be tough if you're missing Edelman. You know, obviously I think Gronk's going to have a big game, because, you know, he had a big game in the first game. They don't really have anybody who can cover him. Obviously nobody does, but Buffalo especially. So it's going to be an interesting game. Obviously Monday night, 8:30, CLNS Radio Patriots postgame show will be there right afterwards, as every week. It'll be a late night show, of course, but that's all we got today. I mean, Bill, is there anything else, you know, last thoughts, you know, either for this game or going into the Buffalo game, anything we left on the table?
I love you, Stephen Gostkowski. That's one thing. I think we've covered it pretty well. You know, great overall, you know, outcome, great outcome. You know, tough game. The Giants always play us hard and play us well. But overall, came out, got the W. And like I said, I love you, Stephen Gostkowski.
Yeah, definitely. I'll second that. I'm going to say, you know, game of the year so far, by far. It was a great game. Exciting to watch. Patriots win 27-26. Improved to 9-0 in the season. We'll be back next week after the Bills game, Monday night. Like I said, you know, we'll probably be on around 11:30. So be sure to tune in. CLNS Radio Patriots post-game show. You know, my name is Michael Longi. For Bill Bodell, thank you guys so much. And we'll talk to you next week.
Internet Sports Talk Radio, CLNS Radio.